Hi, I'm Maria Manhattan, and I hope you'll join me in the Hudson Cafe here at WGXC on the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month, 11 a.m. till noon. We're playing an eclectic mix of music from the American Songbook, old standards sung by young artists, as well as the jazz greats, plus an occasional sprinkling of the unexpected. Leave your worries at the door and come on into the Hudson Cafe. I've got your table waiting.
Hey, Holly.
Hey, Justin.
What did the one cat say to the other cat when talking to them on the cell phone?
I don't know.
Can you hear meow?
Meow.
You're listening to Justin Weaver and Holly Tanner with...
Something to Talk About, the second and fourth Wednesday of every month from
10 to 11 in the morning, WGXC. Don't miss it.
Never know what we'll say.
Right.
Do you have some news to share with WGXC listeners or a special community event you want everyone to know about? You can send press releases on any subject to news@WGXC.org, where they will be shared with all WGXC reporters, hosts, and programmers. Anyone can also add an event to the WGXC calendar online at WGXC.org/event. Just go to WGXC.org/events and click on the Add an Event button at the top of the page and type in the information about your event. WGXC announcers read these events on the air throughout the day, and internet readers can access them anytime. So please let WGXC listeners know when you're making news or when you have an event to share with your community.
Wednesdays on WGXC are made possible with underwriting support from MPAC, where the arts, sciences, and technology interact with and influence each other. Situated on the campus of Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute in Troy, MPAC hosts artists and researchers to create new work and present events, which ask you to join the quest for new perspectives. That's MPAC, MPAC.RPI.edu.
This is Cecilia Kacik, the former state senator who represented Greene County. You are listening to WGXC Acra, 90.7 FM and WGXC.org. Good morning, everybody. It's Wednesday in July, the second Wednesday. You're listening to Something to Talk About with Holly Tanner and
Justin Weaver.
Good morning, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you,
Holly?
Awesome.
Yes, things are fabulous. It's lovely weather. Are you doing weather with Weaver anymore?
You know, I've been so busy, but, you know, I do need to get back into it. I don't have the weather forecast prepared.
It's hot out, right?
But
is that
hot?
All we need to know?
It's soupy.
All we
it's
need
the
to know.
Soupy sales of weather. And it's going to be like that for the rest of the weekend. How's that?
That's great.
Is that okay?
That's fabulous. Yes, you're right on point, I think, there, honey. Why have you been so busy?
Well, I had my big tennis tournament.
Do tell.
Yeah.
No way. I hadn't heard. Just kidding.
Yeah. Well, of course.
You,
you
did
know me.
Awesome.
I don't keep anything to myself, really. If
and
I didn't have
shouldn't.
Facebook.
You
I
did want, fabulous.
Know, thank you. I want to know what I did before Facebook. I mean, I share everything about my life. But yeah, I did well. I made it to the finals of the singles and the finals of the doubles, and I'm just very happy, and I'm thankful for all the support
there
on Facebook.
Like, there's BC and AD and then BF
and AF. There's before actually Facebook and after Facebook. Right?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the different divisions of the
no.
tennis.
Is that really true?
There's A, B, C, and D.
Oh, cool. Okay.
F would be somebody that never picked up a racket, but that's not a real category. I guess that's good.
Well,
be.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. And yeah,
that's awesome.
And Pride is over, so right? I just have time to, you know, relax a little bit.
Right.
And I will be getting back into the weather. I will.
Right. Yeah, I know. We've missed those weather reports.
I've missed doing
them.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Those are fun to do. But and then we're shredding on Thursday, right?
We have the big countywide shredding day that's
which
happening
Justin
on Thursday.
Coordinates.
Well, it's your idea.
Fabulous. We've been doing this a long time, but it is important to centralize resources to save tax dollars.
Yep.
And isn't that a great segue for our guest who's in studio with us, Terry Sullivan.
Hi, Terry.
Welcome, Terry.
Welcome. Good morning. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Terry is running for assembly in the 106th Assembly District, which covers Dutchess and Columbia counties, not in their entirety, but a large portion of each. So
correct.
Welcome.
Now, for somebody that
I'm so happy to be here.
Is
thank
like
you.
Me, who doesn't really know politics that well or, you know, government positions, tell us what being on the assembly is and what are the duties and what does it actually entail?
Well, if you compare what's going on in Albany to what happens in Washington, D.C., there are different levels. The Senate.
Talk right into that mic, Terry.
The Senate is represented. And the assembly is sort of akin to what the congressperson would do down in Washington, D.C. So that's the way they're organized. And in New York, the state Senate and the assembly report to the governor.
Yeah, we'll do a little governmental class. So, yeah, there's three branches of government. And so assembly would be one of the legislative branch. Mm-hmm.
And there's executive and judicial.
Right. Oh, see, you paid attention in school.
It's all coming back. It's all coming back to me now. Didn't Celine Dion say that?
So, right. So legislation, right. Policies, et cetera.
The assembly represents the local district.
Okay.
So it's a little bit smaller than the
and
Senate
Columbia
district.
Columbia County has three representatives for assembly. There's three different districts. So, and Terry is running for what in Columbia County amounts to the largest. I forget how many towns are in the 106th.
In Columbia County?
Yeah. It's the majority of the towns in Columbia County.
Yeah.
So, right. Why did you want to get into politics, Terry? I know you're already a Copaic Town board member,
yes,
right?
Yes, I am. And I've been in healthcare for 40 years all over New York State and also in Massachusetts and Connecticut. And I sort of got the bug, I want to say, when I was elected back in 2009 to represent New York State on the Advisory Council to the American Speech and Hearing Association.
Okay.
And I was elected, I did not know at the time, but I was a lobbyist down in D.C. I was down there the weekend of the healthcare vote, and it really sparked my interest in politics. I really care about what's going on, and I feel like I'm in a position that I can make a difference.
So, yeah, now talk to us about you're a doctor. What kind of doctor
yes.
are you?
Well, my first degree is in speech pathology, okay. and my second degree and my doctorate's in audiology, so I worked at an ENT practice in Hudson for 10 years before they left the area.
And you're quite well known on Facebook for being a Zumba instructor.
Yes, I am.
Why don't you tell us about that?
I've been teaching Zumba for about 5 years up here. And I've been very involved with our Zumba community, which is very far reaching. It goes all the way down to Westchester and across to Catskill and Greene County and Dutchess. And we've done a lot of events over the past 5 years. We've raised a lot of money for charity. It isn't just about exercise and dancing and having fun.
Yeah, we did a fundraiser for the Humane Society
a few years
ago, a Zumba or dance-a-thon. I guess you have to be careful using that word.
Yes.
But we did do that. So
we did some good with it besides doing, you know, being healthy and fit. You
right.
can also
raise
a lot of money for
right.
charity, which is a great thing about it.
Very involved in your community, Terry, which is great.
Now, I'm just reading from your website here that your goal is to win back the 106th Assembly District from outside interests and to send a strong message to Albany that we must put an end to the corruption and cronyism that exists today. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, I think in general people are fed up with what's going on with long-term politicians on politics in general, and that's why you see a lot of frustration and uprising, and New York is a prime example. of what the corruption that's been going on. So I am hoping that when I get elected, I will be able to help balance out those other. New York City is very well represented in the assembly. It's about 85% of the assembly representation right now. And I feel that the person who represents our district should actually live in the district, mm-hmm. work in the district, and be a part of the district 24/7. Now, I'm not a pop-up politician.
Right.
I've been involved for years in our community, so that's really important.
Now, you're running against Dee Dee Barrett.
Correct.
Correct. It's just you two in the race?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is all decided in November?
Correct.
Okay. So what are some key points that separate you from your opponent?
Well, I think what I had just said before is that I really represent the district because I live here 24/7.
Right.
And I've gotten to know the people and the issues in our area. I've been on the town board, our local town board, for the past couple of years. And that's given me a great background in government at the local level. I've been supported by all parties when I was elected.
You dress nice. People can't see that. But that should speak for something.
Thank you.
And you brought me fiber. She brought me a gift.
Holly doesn't know
Nobody
about
ever
that.
Brings us gifts, Holly.
I know.
We've got to start changing that. To be on the show.
True. We did get cookies. Trixie brought us cookies.
Trixie always brings us cookies.
Yeah, shout
I
out.
I think it's important to bring gifts to people, don't you?
Right, for the host.
Okay,
yes.
From now on, if you're going
to
be on the show.
Although we do have to be careful. I don't think there's any dollar limit here. So no. Otherwise, it has to be under 75.
When I grew up, this isn't
Secret
Santa.
Noted.
You always had to bring something when you went somewhere.
Wow. I appreciate the fiber. Lord knows I need it.
Also, I'm a strong supporter of our constitutional rights, and including our Second Amendment rights. And I think that will separate out. That's a major separation between me and my opponent.
Okay. Well, since you speak of that, do you want to speak about what's going on with the recent shootings that have been happening?
Well, you know, I think that all of this dissension and the trouble in this country, and I'm an old school, I'm an old person, so mm-hmm. I have the old class values of respect, and we respected police officers, teachers, priests, any authoritative figure. We were just, that's the way we grew up. And I see a lack of respect today all around in younger generations. And I just think our culture is one, you know, we're out on Facebook all the time. Everybody can talk about everything and their feelings. And it's all out there in the open. And it's just very, very frustrating for a lot of people. You know, my values are you have to work hard, you have to be honest, you have to be fair, mm-hmm. You have to have respect, boundaries, and everything is too out there now. I think that we're lacking in those boundaries, and people are just very, very frustrated. Everybody's frustrated.
Yeah.
Terry, what are some things that are important to you as you run for office, or what are you hearing out there as you're going out and meeting, you know, people who would be voting for you?
Well, I have to tell you, I mean, I drive around all over the community, and it is just the most beautiful place to live. I love meeting the farmers and talking to them about what we can do to help the farmers. There's a lot of farms that are closing and leaving the area, and we really need to maintain our food source, our food supply. Another big issue that I hear about, which is something that I really can't get my hands on right now, is the drug situation, the heroin addiction.
Yeah, it's a huge problem in our community.
It's horrible.
I've heard of two more, one local, one not local, within the past couple of days.
Yeah.
And
was it out in Kinderhook, I think?
It affects everybody. I've met with groups in Dutchess County and up here as well. And we really have to get a handle on that as soon as possible. That's a terrible problem.
And what do you see as a response? Like, do you have ideas about what could help that situation?
Well, there was a group that I met with of women. The acronym was PACE, down in Dutchess County. And they work with prevention. They work with the school programs. They try to counsel kids before they get involved or during that process and get very involved. They've gotten a lot of funding from the state for rehabilitation.
I think that is important that we do a lot of pre-education for kids before they might have an opportunity to try it, because I believe once heroin is one of those, especially where you could become addicted after your first try, which is so scary. And so if we educate young people before, and I know that starts, I have a son going into seventh grade and a daughter going into 10th grade, and the 10th grader is all, you know, the drug culture is still very there.
The peer pressure is terrible. The availability.
Right.
We often ask this of our guests, at what age and at what age should you be introducing these topics into the schools? And we get different answers. And I can see where a parent might say or might think, you know, if we introduce the idea or, you know, just the topic to them, that might make them more aware of it.
Right.
And it might make it a little bit more, you know, in their mind to try it or figure out more on their own about it.
Right.
So I can see where parents don't want it to be a part of the schools, but then the other parents know, and they're being realistic, that it's out there. You might as well just school the children.
They're going to
get exposed to it anyway.
Well, I was going to say, what do you think? Where are you on that topic?
I think that you need to educate kids as soon as possible. And I also think that at early age, you need to provide alternatives for kids. More social groups, more activities. Parents need to really be involved with the bringing up their kids and being very proactive as much as possible. There's been problems with family structures these days in all areas, in all neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. You know, church groups. I've learned about a lot of 4-H programs, Future Farmers of America's programs, all through the schools. And besides educating kids, you have to provide some alternatives for them. Dance, exercise is another. I know some fabulous people, and Drew participated with us when we did our fundraiser. But strong community leaders that work with kids at a young age. I mean, I think here in elementary school, in the higher grades, fifth and sixth grades, probably where they should start, I would think. I don't know, Holly, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's sad but true, and I do get some of that, and I think the same thing kind of goes along with sex education, where, you know, if you start talking about it, people are going to run out and do it, which, you know, is a fear of parents, but again, it's out there, all sorts of things, and they're going to learn about it, you're right. Anyway,
social media, and Facebook, television, it's out there
To educate and to get that, I don't want to say healthy fear, but I kind of do. I mean, I had the conversation with my daughter about, you know, because there's other, you know, things that are going on. There's drinking and pot and, you know, these other things. And it's like, you know, you want to be smart in your decisions and, you know, talk to your parents.
I was told recently that calling it pot is an old person's way of speaking. it's called weed in order to be cool and to have some street cred. I just thought I'd put that out there. It's not pot anymore.
Holly's a cool mom.
I've got all sorts of street cred.
She's so cool, so I thought that I would just help her be cooler.
She's a cool mom.
Maybe mistake myself.
Sometimes we have to, there could be the lingo does change. See, I just said lingo. How old is that word? But now, my daughter tells me that Facebook is for old people.
How about lexicon?
You know, that's all about, they're all about Snapchat and Instagram.
Now, there are
the
other
young thing to do.
There are other groups, by the way. I'm headed down to a senior lunch in Dutchess County right when I finish here.
Okay.
But there are other groups that we need to address too. Our seniors, our veterans. Small businesses, do what we can to support small businesses. And besides our youth, we have to address our youth as well. But there are lots of needs out there in the community. And somebody really, healthcare needs, there are special needs kids, mental health issues. There's a tremendous amount of work that needs to be done.
Well, we do have our next guest coming up shortly in a few minutes is Vern Cross, who is from the Drive Time radio show here on WGXA, and we have him on to talk about race relations. And of course, that is something that's humongously important and paramount especially now, what's going on in our communities all across the United States. That must be a topic that needs attention, you know, on, mm-hmm. you know, on your plate as well. Something that, you know, you'll need to focus on. Is there anything that you wanted to say about that, or what you feel about that?
When you talk about being old, I mean, I'm much older than both of you. And I know when we were growing up, and I grew up in New York City, and it didn't appear that we had any other than the usual difficulties with racial issues. Everybody got along. It's hard for me to understand why everybody's so angry today, but I think you definitely need to open up the conversation and listen to other people. You have to listen. You have to get that conversation going. So any way you can do that is important.
What else are you focused on, Terry, as you run for assembly?
Well, as I said before, small businesses, we really need to focus on the economy and jobs, job creation, and healthcare is my passion. I've been in healthcare for 40 years in hospitals, acute care settings, nursing homes, rehabilitation settings with pediatrics and with adults. So I have a pretty good handle on that. Access, one thing I learned when we moved up here is access to healthcare is completely different up here than it is down in New York City.
Sure.
And there's a lot of major differences in the New York City population versus up here. And I think you need a strong person in Albany that understands the needs of both, but really is dedicated to improving the quality of life of this district.
Very good. So. What else, Justin? Do you have other questions for Terry? What's your favorite color?
Oh, yeah, that's what we usually ask people.
Seriously?
When we run out of things to say. you've been very informative.
I'm trying to keep it light.
You're covering everything.
There are more questions we can ask, but we're also winding down on time. But we do ask everybody, what's your favorite
green,
color?
Green, absolutely green.
And I love green. That's my favorite color.
Green is my
favorite movie.
Color.
Do you have a favorite movie?
Oh, gosh, no, I haven't.
These
really
things
thought
kind
about
of
that.
Add insight to a person. Uh-huh. You know what their favorite
movie is. Yeah, you're not just
a
political person. You
you're a real person.
It helps the voter.
I'm very into fitness and exercise and health. Health issues. I think that that's really, really important.
You and have where to, do you live, Terry?
I live in Copaig.
You live in Copaig, but
so I'm on the town board.
Tell us where. I know you have a you know, I won't say troubled, but your upbringing unusual. Your background.
Yeah.
I know you lost your parents at a very young age, right?
Yeah, I've always worked hard. I lost my parents when I was pretty young. My mother died when I was 16, and my dad died when I was 21.
Yeah.
And so I know what it's like to really be out there
working,
not knowing where your next meal is coming from. I put myself through college. I sang in a band. I was a professional singer in the city for years. I was a disco queen.
So was I.
Used to play all the big clubs.
You still are, Justin.
I still am.
Yeah. What do you mean, past tense?
Oh, yeah, wow.
I used to play all the big clubs and disco.
And because you're originally from
Long Island, the Bronx.
You're originally from
the
Bronx.
Down, the Boogie Down Bronx, yeah.
Right. So, but you've been in Columbia County, right? You're a hard worker.
Yeah, I think that those things really set the foundation for a good, productive life and commitment to community, volunteering. You know, it's all about taking care of people.
Excellent.
So that's why I'm
Absolutely.
Doing this.
Yeah.
And disco. No.
And disco. Well, that's a
can't forget the disco.
That's a good way to end this interview. Yeah. And you know, Terry's been a friend of mine on Facebook, and it's just an honor to actually meet you in person.
Oh, same here.
It's fun to like really recognize that these people are real on Facebook.
Oh, that's right.
You
know,
right.
You know. Maybe don't look quite as good as I do.
No,
on
you, look
oh,
you look better. You look better in person.
You look fabulous. Well, any parting shots for listeners? You know that you.
I think you need to pay attention. Everybody needs to wake up and pay attention because this is a really, really important election and we have an opportunity to turn things around in New York and in our country. So people need to pay attention, get to know their elected officials up close and personal so that they can make the best informed decisions that they can come November.
And it is important to vote, isn't it?
Absolutely. And register. Register. Make sure you're registered to vote. Your voices can make a difference.
Yeah.
I know my voice has made a difference. And I think everybody, you know, needs to really get involved and participate and get out there and vote. It's really important.
if people have any further questions about you or your stance on things, do you have a website or can they contact you? Right.
Absolutely. I try to make myself available to everybody as much as possible. But if you can check our you can friend me on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I have my Sullivan for Assembly page. You can friend me at Terry Sullivan. And it's Dr. Terry for New York. And that's the number four, Dr. Terry for New York.
Wonderful. And that's your website? What's your website?
That's it.
Okay.
And if you want to donate,
.com.
Right. If you want to donate, there's a donate button.
Okay. So people can learn more about you. And I know you're going to be out and about, very busy in the district.
Yes.
Out meeting and shaking hands and kissing babies and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. So look
I'll
for
be
Terry.
Out there.
Say hello. And thanks for coming in and chatting.
Thank you, Terry.
Yes. Thank you. It was great to meet you. Thank
you.
You
too.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to try to play this song.
Oh, we're going to play a song.
Do we know how to do that?
And then we're also going to try and answer the phone because Vern will be calling.
Yes, Vern will be calling shortly.
Soon.
I picked this song because I thought it was important in what's going on in the United States right now. And
I
it's
have
a good...
to admit I've forgotten how to play a song.
Oh.
We're going to get help in. Hey, Alana. Can you come in? Knock on the window. I don't think she hears you. We're
going
to play
a
song.
So
yes.
I thought,
what song did you pick, Justin?
I thought Amazing Grace would
that
be
a good
one.
We want to play a song, but we forgot.
We forgot how
to
turn the volume up for the song.
Right here. Okay.
It's probably very simple.
We'll
it's
be
been
back.
A while.
Stay
yes.
tuned. Okay. Oh. Is it going? Hopefully there's no commercials because I turned our mics off. I think I turned our mics off. Is that on? Are those on?
As lost, but now I'm found. Was blind.
Getting a phone call.
Burns on hold. Okay. Hi, everybody. This is Justin Weaver.
We're back.
And we have Holly Tanner here, as always. And I believe...
we have a caller. You're listening to WGXC 90.7. And actually, we should say, we were a little remiss this morning, but we should say thank you to all the listeners of this great station. If you recall, our last show, actually, you could only hear us and the other shows online. The station went dark for a little bit to do fundraising, but we're happy to say that the goal was met. And so we hope you're listening to us on the FM dial 90.7, and you can still listen online, www.wgxc.org. So thanks, everyone, for that. We have a caller on the line. Our next guest is with us. Vern, are you there? Hello, Vern.
Yes.
Hi, it's Holly.
And Justin. How are you doing, Vern?
Hey, what's up, Justin?
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Hey, let me tell you guys something. I've never been on hold before waiting to get on the show.
Now you know what it feels like to be me.
Yeah, we need some music or something.
Oh, we do. We need your production help, Vern. We know your show is like you do sound effects and everything else. Justin and I are just straight up simple folk here.
Yeah, they got the clap. They got everything.
They got the clap.
Applause. Well, first of all, we want to...
Thanks for holding.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Hi.
Hello. Is he there?
Turn that off. Yeah. You still there, Vern? Vern?
We lost Vern.
How'd we do that?
Hello?
Oh, no. He's... Oh, turn that off. Stop that. Pause it. Vern, where'd you go? Hello, hello. All right, he's going to have to call back in. So I will turn that off. What were you going to say to Vern?
Okay, we lost Vern.
We lost Vern.
I was going to thank Vern for granting us this interview.
Here he comes back. Oh, yes.
He's calling back.
He's back.
Let's see.
All right.
It's always fun here at WGXC 90.7 FM.
We appreciate you listening. Okay. Vern, are you back?
Is this some kind of conspiracy going on here?
Oh, no.
I'm like,
he's on to us.
He had a beep and he took the call. How could that happen? This is such a... Okay, so what I was saying...
Sorry about that. We're back. We wanted to thank you, Vern, for...
I think, you know what? I think it was my fault because on my end, I think there's something wrong with the phones at my job.
Oh.
I'm on my cell phone now.
Are you doing... Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. All right. Okay. Well, but the music started playing too, so who knows. But thanks for calling us back.
Yeah.
We appreciate it, honey.
Of course.
And I know that you were approached by the Register Star and you were approached by Lance Wheeler last night at the vigil that was held at the courthouse, but you refused both interviews and you wanted Holly and I to
have the
interview. Yeah, he told me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
That is nothing but respect.
Myself, Slay Diddy, Ray, we respect you guys a lot. We like what you guys do. And it's actually a great opportunity. I mean, you guys have some really distinguished guests on the show. So, I mean, to ask me to come on,
Shout out. I'm going to save it. Yeah. Well, thank you. We appreciate that very much.
So
let's get cooking.
Let's get cooking.
Justin, we've got some... We want to have a conversation about
everything. This is
going to
be a heavy-ish interview because, you know, there's a lot of heavy things going on.
Well, it is something to talk about.
It is something to talk about. And, you know, I'm always the token gay guy on your show. So I figured I could reverse it and have the token black guy on our show. Do you accept that title, first of all? I don't want to offend anybody.
Well, here's the thing. I accept it, but I only partly accept it because... we have three token black guys, and Mr. WJXC would gladly come on your show, and Ray will come on your show.
Yeah, but I've already been on your show talking about Mr. WJXC.
We love Phil. Well, we'd love to have all you guys in studio. I appreciate you taking the time. You're at work, so thank you again for coming on. So how do you feel about that? Do you think that labels are a problem in this country?
Labels?
Yeah, like, you know, that you're the token black guy, or Justin's the token gay guy, or I'm the token... white Republican female.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call myself. Is that a problem, though, do you think, honestly, Vern?
Well, I mean, as far as, like, with me and Justin, there's more jokes and stuff like that. I mean, we're comfortable enough where we can relate to each other like that.
Right.
But in reality, sometimes, a lot of times I'm the token black guy. I'm okay with that. I use it to my advantage so that people that know me could see that they could possibly get there too. As long as I do what I'm supposed to do as a black man and teach the people underneath of me that we can, you know, survive in this white America, then I'm fine with being a token black guy because you get to go in the rooms. You get to hear the stories and I'm cool with that.
Cool.
Well said. Well, let's talk specifically about the two shootings. Well, actually, the seven total shootings, but Alton Sterling and Philandro Castile, I think that's how you say his last name. Those were the two black men that were shot in separate incidents. And then following those two shootings, you know, of course, there was a public outcry and uproar. And then five white police officers were shot, which seems to be in response for those two initial killings. Do you think that this was an eye for an eye, or is this just another, crazed officers killing innocent black people, and then the response, the a crazed black person killing five white officers? Is it just that these individuals that did the killing, are they crazy, or is there more to it?
First, I want to start off by saying myself and the majority of the people around me are not anti-police.
Mm-hmm.
We do not dislike the police. We do not hate the police. We do not want to see police officers or anyone die.
Right.
And I think that's important because these two videos, that's the thing about it. We're talking about videos that were shown on Facebook Live. I mean, one of them I couldn't watch. And one of the reasons why I couldn't watch it is because sometimes I am the token black guy. I have to always have control of my emotions.
Right.
We live in a country where conversation is going to come up. I mean, we have conversations sometimes about, you know, politically, Trump or Clinton or this or that. And if you act off emotions, things could go bad. So sometimes I don't watch those videos until it's time to do the radio show so that I can not, you know, react off emotion. Clearly, with Philando, it was so bad because his fiance and a 4-year-old
right.
daughter was in the car, and she's going to be, we can't even imagine what her life is going to be like to see such tragic, you know, such a tragic event. I think the thing about it and what America has to look at is that it's not the cops. It's the bad cops.
Right.
And I'll put some pressure on the good cops for not calling out the bad cops. I'll tell you one thing that they say if you go to the DARE program or if the police officers come to your neighborhood, they got this saying. They say, if you see something, say something.
Mm-hmm. Right. I've heard that.
But it doesn't apply for good cops. Because, I mean, we know there's good white people, bad white people. Good black people, bad black people. But in police, you're sworn to take an oath to protect and serve. And with them not saying anything, I think the whole set was tragic. But I dislike the media for portraying it as just the five officers who lost their lives. And I swear to you, man, I don't want to see anybody die. And I feel for their families. Because most of the time, you know, you'll get a crazy person that goes out and does something, and then it's the innocent people that, you know, end up getting killed. Like, look at drive-bys. You know, sometimes when you have a drive-by, you shouldn't have them, period. But if you have a drive-by, who's getting killed? Not the person that's shooting at. Some
right,
innocent
people. Yeah, I remember there was a little girl killed last year in a drive-by. Very sad.
You know, you mentioned how important it is for the police to acknowledge that there is a problem and that other police in other areas are not always good. And this was this kind of came to Hudson a few days ago when there was the protest out in front of the Hudson police station, and our chief of police, Ed Moore, did not come out to the crowd as the crowd was urging him to come out and, you know, say a few words and acknowledge the group and acknowledge what is going on in other police departments. Why is it important to have the Hudson police chief do that, number one? And number two, do you feel that we have a decent police force here? Are we facing the same problems in dealing with the police as the rest of the nation is?
Our problems aren't as intense, but there are problems here. There are problems within our police department. There is. I think that one of the things is when anything happens nationwide, especially when you're dealing with a certain community, I feel like if you're the chief or if you're the mayor, you should just come out and let the people of that community know we're going to do everything possible so that this won't happen here. You know what I'm saying? Get ahead of things. And I think that, and it's just, you know, it's my opinion. If the chief or the mayor would have came out and said, hey, you know, we've seen these tragic things happen. What we want to do is kind of set up something so we can have better race relations between the police officers and the people that they patrol, and we want to do this or do that. You don't have a reason to protest because they already said, listen, we see what's going on, but like I said, Facebook Live, you have to look at the fact that there's 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 13, and up with Facebook. They've seen these videos.
Mm-hmm.
They're in fear. You know, they don't understand that the fact that this might not happen in Hudson, but it could. I mean, there has been cases where, and I can't, like, pinpoint them, but I know personally that people have been paid because of excessive force by the Hudson Police Department.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Do you think, though, Vern, I'm sorry, to go back to your comment before, and I think you're right, you know, in that it gets painted with a broad brush on both sides, you know, and we've seen the memes on Facebook where it's, you know, not every cop is bad, not every black person is a criminal, not every, you know, and we all just need to kind of get along, and these conversations do have to happen. But the president actually yesterday said, in his comments, he attended the funeral for three of the slain officers, and he spoke at length. And I actually thought he did not a bad job, but he addressed not only the actions of police officers, but he said, and he actually was echoing the chief of police of Dallas, who said, you know, so much is put on the police for so many of society's problems. And maybe we need to look at ourselves to see what can we do so that we're not having these, and I guess I'm getting to, you know, what do you see as a root problem for what's happening? I mean, it's not bad. It's not just cops, and it's not just the minority community. There's something going on that needs to be addressed at a deeper level, because not every cop is bad, just like not every black person is bad or every minority person is bad. What do you see as solutions for this?
Solutions? That's going to be hard. I mean, this problem trickles down to the fact of opportunity.
Yeah, you know, I agree 100%, Vern.
Opportunity. And that's the thing about it. Like, I wish that especially the people that represent us in our city could stop looking at the adults and think about the children. Like, they have a chance to not follow in the footsteps of anybody that might have been bad or in the footsteps of people and be better. And I think they need opportunity like that. Like, for example, I'll just take this and throw it out there.
Yep.
The Hudson Boys Club. When I was younger, the Hudson Boys Club was everything and above. Like, we used to go there. We had all kind of training. The Hudson Boys Club now, it's almost non-existent. And where do these kids go?
Right.
Now, I'm not making excuses for them, but we know as adults that we have to keep our kids active. We have to keep them involved. You know, they have those fresh minds. They're willing to learn whatever you're willing to teach them.
Yeah.
Plus, it's no more like when I was younger, my mother used to say, do as I say, not as I do. There's no more of that. And, you know, you got to live up. You got to lead by example.
We have the train coming in.
The train's coming by. Yeah, I mean, do you get this in your show, Vern? Does the train go by?
No, we're lucky.
I hope it's just a train.
So I'll do a little shout out to CSX.
Hey, CSX. I wanted to bring up, well, first of all, last night there was an all-star baseball game in Canada. And I don't know if you heard this, but they changed the words to O Canada. One of the tenors.
Oh, one guy did.
Yeah, part of the quartet changed the words to say All Lives Matter, basically making a statement with the song. And he was immediately removed from the group afterwards, and there was apologies sent out. I know that you feel that all lives matter, but it's been reported that this is always a response to the Black Lives Matter movement, and it trivializes the problems that black people face. Can you talk about why the term all lives matter is offensive to you and to the black population?
Yeah, of course, man. That rubs me the wrong way, you know. Mm-hmm. Only because... And I'm going to quote, like, my buddy, the real Mr. WGXC. Slade Diddy, we had a conversation. I'm going to use two quotes from him and another friend of mine.
Okay.
He was mentioning, he said, like, if someone came up to you and said, hey, my mom has breast cancer, no one's going to say, well, lung cancer matters. They're just going to think about the fact that she has cancer and she is the one that's in need right now.
Right.
It's obvious. As a human being, all lives matter. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But all lives aren't being taken by police officers, you know, unarmed and being shown on social media. There was an incident, and it was about, I think it was 2 years ago. It was in, like, Saratoga Springs. It was this white sheriff. He pulled over these kids. Well, he actually couldn't get in their car, and he was telling them, you know, I want to get in your car. Let me search your car. And the kids were pretty smart. They knew their rights. So he slapped him in the back of the head. And it went viral. Immediately, that officer was suspended without pay. And then he was fired. Immediately.
Right.
You know, so, you understand what I'm saying? Like, so, when you look at the perception of it, it's like, okay, if this happens to a white guy, you know, let's take another one. What's the guy? I think his name was Dylan Roof. The guy, the young guy.
Yeah.
The monster that went
into
and,
the church.
Shot all those
all right.
people in the church, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He shot all the black people in this historic church. Okay, they go in, they pull a bulletproof vest on him, they bring him out and take him to Burger King. Now, this idiot and this man that shot these officers, you know what they did to him? They sent a robot in with a bomb attached, and they blew him up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, I agree all lives matter. We all agree all lives matter. All we're saying is that right now, it seems like black lives aren't getting the attention as far as when things go wrong and when the police do things wrong. You know, they're not getting the attention, and everybody seems to be able to kill an unarmed black man and get away with it. And then the biggest comeback is, well, what about black-on-black crime?
Right.
Here's this. And I got to quote my man Slay Diddy again. Black-on-black crime happens most of the time when you're talking about thugs. And I'm not talking about thugs that you hear walking around with their pants hanging down. I'm talking about people that really kill people.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it happens. But that's what thugs do. Police officers are sworn to uphold and protect and serve. They're not supposed to do that. If a lot of banks are being robbed and we catch some bank robbers, we're not going to be mad because bank robbers rob banks. That's what they do.
Right.
It doesn't make it right, but the fact of the matter is that we hold police to a higher standard and they should hold themselves to that same standard.
But we can kind of agree that the police are there to uphold laws.
Yeah, right? We need the police. Listen,
oh, good. I'm glad to hear you say that, because there was a woman who said we should abolish the police department.
Listen, I was watching something on MTV, and this guy was going, and he said something like, oh, yeah, we got to de-arm the police department. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Are you crazy?
Yeah.
Like, we need police. We just need police to understand that you just can't shoot. You can't do this.
Well, I actually... I'm sorry, Vern. I did ask the question, you know, with the man... who was in the car, who was shot, and I wanted to know, because I issue pistol permits in Columbia County. Now, New York State, right. There is no law that decrees that you must declare when you're pulled over that you have a gun or that you're licensed. I don't know about the situation in the state where that man was, but I asked the question, you know, because we have people who do training courses, you know, is there something that you teach in regards to what should you do if you're a licensed permit holder? You know, you have a permit to conceal carry because New York State is a conceal carry state. When you're pulled over, what should you do? And the answer was, there's, you know, if the question comes up, we do address it, but not as a general rule, because in New York State, you know, again, it's not a law that you have to declare that you have a gun. But for me as an individual, even if I'm not me, but if I'm just general public, you know, John Q, if I get pulled over and I'm a licensed gun owner, if I have my gun with me, I'm going to keep my hands where they're visible and I'm going to wait for the officer to tell me what to do. And I'm not using that as an excuse or justification for what happened, because obviously that was wrong and it was tragic. In so many regards, what happened to that man. But on the other hand, you have police who are just doing their job, and it has happened where they've had people pulled over and they've been shot and killed. So it's, you know, I think we have to look at it from both angles instead of judging right away. And I don't even know if that cop has been, I don't even know. It kind of got lost in the equation with everything else that's going on. Like, has he been released? Is he on leave with pay? Is he on administrative leave without pay?
I think he's on suspended leave.
He's suspended,
While they're undergoing an investigation.
So it's confusing. And does social media, Vern, play a part in this, where people are so looking for that video to go viral instead of, let's confront the cops. Let's, you know, make an issue of it and see if we can't get them to, you know, is that part of the problem, do you think?
I think part of the problem is training and fear.
Yeah.
Like I said, I wouldn't watch that video. But from what I did take a peek at, it looked like the officer was upset. And here's the thing. Well, not upset, but more afraid. because in Brooklyn, I think it was in Brooklyn, maybe this summer, there was a young officer, a rookie officer, he went into the projects, and he was in the hallway, and he got scared, and he shot his gun, and the bullet ricocheted, and it hit a guy, and it killed him.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now, this officer did not mean to kill him,
yeah.
but he was afraid. And if I had to go to that same project, I would be afraid, too.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, if you're not trained, you shouldn't be in these areas where you're going to have to confront
right.
people of different races. And if there's a fear there, you're not able to do your job, you know, because I always tell my friends this. I say, listen, man, me and you, Justin, me and you can get in a car and you can be driving and we can go out of town. And if we get pulled over, one of us is going to get treated differently than the other. And a lot of people don't want to hear that, but it's just a fact. It is.
You don't want me in the car, Vern?
Huh?
You don't want me in the car?
All right, listen. I'll tell you
trying
what,
to lighten the mood, honey.
No, Holly, listen. If we let you drive, then
we're both
we
good.
Get pulled over.
That's we're both good.
We're going to get pulled over because we're letting the white girl drive and we're doing the drug run. And I'm the kingpin.
Nice.
And we're going to let you two go.
Sounds like
I'm
a movie.
No.
Oh, dear.
Well, no, but all I'm saying is that...
In all seriousness. We do hear what you're saying. We
that,
do.
There has to be some training and people shouldn't be afraid to say, okay, I'm uncomfortable or I'm not aware of how to deal with a certain type of person.
Right.
There's a study that they did, and when two officers come together, like they have a white officer and a black officer, and whenever they went to a house and there was an interracial couple, each member of that couple went to the officer that looked like them.
Really? Oh, that's interesting. I do have to give a shout out to the Hudson Police Department, though, and I'm looking for this picture. It was posted on Facebook. It was from a wedding that I performed last summer here in Hudson, down by the waterfront, interracial couple. Mm-hmm. I'll give a shout out to Buck and Susie, but for me, it was an interesting play, and I'm not saying that things haven't happened in the past, but Buck was getting ready, and he was having problems tying his tie, and there were uniformed officers. One person was there, and that uniformed officer went over and helped Buck tie his tie in uniform, a member of the Hudson Police. And it was such a sweet picture, and to me it really spoke to, again, that, you know, I think maybe while there are issues, I don't know if, you know, Hudson seems to be maybe okay, but if you're saying that there's issues, I'm sure that those will
be... There's not issues for me.
Yeah.
I mean, because we're older, we know how to deal with them.
Most
of the police already know us. But there are issues for the younger generation, and they could be part of the problem. But the thing about it is, like I said, the police are held to a higher standard. So a lot of training. And another thing is the cops have to get out of those cars. Like, I was at the Divisual last night.
Yeah.
And like, the cops were on every corner. And it's like, why not come over? Like, why do you look so standoffish? Like, why? Like, just say hi. Like, even though when we left, we were saying hi to them.
Yeah.
I went over and talked to Tracy. I know Tracy. We grew up together.
I love Tracy.
I went over to talk to her, Tracy Roberts, and I said hi to the officer that was with her.
Yeah.
But why not try? Like, you know what I mean? Like, they were just on every single corner. Like, you know, they looked very intimidating.
I was gonna ask you about the vigil, but I do have to quickly announce that WGXC is going to rerun Democracy Now! At 2:00 today due to problems earlier today. So if anybody was looking for that show, Democracy Now!, it's going to happen today at 2:00. And I did want to ask you about the vigil, but I do also want to put out there that I believe the mayor, Tiffany Martin Hamilton, is having an open forum discussion.
Yep.
Today at 6 p.m. at the Hudson Area Library. Do you know about this, Vern?
Yeah, I know about it. I won't be able to attend. Those kind of things, I got to be honest. I like Tiffany as a person, and I understand that being a mayor is a very hard job, so I'll just end it like that. Every time I see her, I speak to her. She's a very nice person, but those kind of things, you know, like, I'll pass, because those are comfort zones. Those are, like, it's going to be at the armory, and it's going to be, and I remember the last time I went to one of those meetings, it was like 1,000 cops there. We don't even have 1,000 cops, and there was cops all over the place.
So,
I
have to ask, where would the right location be? I mean, because this...
Where the problem is.
Right,
what's the problem?
This seems like it's a step in the right direction to actually have everybody's voices be heard, but so it also has to be in the right location, you're saying.
Yeah. I'm just saying, make people comfortable. Justin and Holly, I swear to you, when I grew up in the high-rise. Well, my grandmother actually owned some property, and then she sold it, and we moved into the high-rise.
Yep. Okay.
My mother would not allow me to go past 3rd Street. I was not allowed to go past 3rd Street. Like, and this is, like, the way now, you know, you can go up to 5th now. But for the most part, we were not allowed to go past 3rd Street.
Yeah.
Like, so all I'm saying is that if the problems in the Second War come to the Second War, when Chief Moore first came into and was chief, he went to every other place and sat down. I even had to go to some of the Fourth Ward and stuff like that. He did not, when he came to the Second War, you want to know where he went? He went to Providence Hall. Providence Hall is a place where a lot of older people live at. There's two things in the black community that gains respect. Older people and babies. Mm-hmm. So you go there, people can't speak their mind, because if you say damn, somebody's grandmother gonna give you a look that might you can't say anything there.
Right.
Come where the problem is.
Well, okay. Since Julie, we have noted. Like, yeah, I'm sorry.
I don't see our next guest here, or the next radio
so
person now.
Maybe
so let's
maybe
just keep
we
going.
Can go over.
We're
going to keep on talking.
You're that special
we're keep
to
on,
us, Vern.
Yes, we're going to keep on talking important. Until your show this afternoon.
This is an important show. That's right. Shout out. You're on this afternoon.
None of us have anything to do
four
today
to
at
six.
All.
4 to 6, yeah, right.
So, all right. So what do you think it's ever going to be possible for the people in this country to come together? I mean, is it or are we too far gone? Are we too far gone? Are
can
we
there
ever
be concessions on both sides? Yeah. I mean, that's something that we didn't talk about either, which is like, let's use the Albany bus incident. Does that hurt your cause, Vern, when you have black people making accusations and lying about,
yeah.
you know, does that hurt the cause?
How do you know what's really funny about that?
Yeah.
I don't understand why white America feels that every black person knows each other. We don't know them. Like, it doesn't hurt my cause. My cause is to keep my family safe. Provide for my family. That's my cause. It hurts their cause, you know, but I mean, and it was terrible. You know, it's bad. Like, sometimes you look at TV because no one's talking about the incident that happened in Michigan, right? You know, with the guy, they were transporting the inmate. He took the gun and shot, you know. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, please don't be black. We can't take another hit.
Please
don't be black. We can't take another hit. Come to find out, he wasn't black. He's white. They're not talking about it. It's under. You know,
that's part of the problem too. The media doesn't help. I don't think they're trying to stir the pot as opposed to maybe come up with solutions or just give the news.
Well, yeah, and like in these situations, I mean, the way they are reporting a story, sometimes the headlines would be like black convict is shot and killed by police, instead of, you know, where they might say, you know, in another situation black father of five. You know, it's really depending upon how you word things, and you're making the viewer feel a certain way by how you're describing the person and the situation the person's in.
Well, this is a media age, you know, like with all social media and stuff like that. The guys that tell you all the time, I'm like, look at all these sheep. Whatever social media says, that's what they do. If social media says the white guy is a bad guy, everybody believes the white guy's a bad guy. You don't even know him. Like, try to take some time and figure it out on your own.
Well, that's good to hear, too. And I think that would help, because there is so much, you know, animosity out there. And, you know, and even if we don't agree necessarily, I think that some of what's perpetrated is, you know, some of the bad stuff. Instead of, I'll use that example, if you saw the video online about there was two protests or demonstrations, what have you, in Dallas. You know, a Black Lives Matter and then a whatever the other side. But the two leaders of each group met in the middle.
Yes,
they shook hands. They hugged. And then they all started hugging. And it was really awesome that even if maybe they don't agree about everything, we can all agree we're all human. We're all Americans. Yeah. We're all just trying to, like you said, Vern, keep our family safe and happy and, you know, live our lives.
We all bleed the same.
We all bleed red.
I just have a little bit of glitter in mine.
Yes, you do.
I just think that we all of us should just be responsible for just doing away with all the
I think that's what the president was saying. The personal responsibility thing goes too. And if you're breaking the law, I'm not, you know, I don't think anyone's saying you need to be shot, but hey, the cops are there to do a job. Just like the night of the protest or the peaceful march, you know, in Dallas. They were there to protect, make sure nothing bad happened, and they were set upon, and just doing their jobs. I couldn't imagine. But I can't imagine a lot of things.
It on Black Lives Matter, you know.
Well, again, there's the media trying to perpetrate this divisiveness. And that's something that I think we as people need to rise above and say, you know, it's not necessarily a cause. It's what happened. That man obviously had issues, mental issues, what have you, and decided to take action, which was just really sad.
Last thing I'm going to say, because you guys probably got to go.
Yep, we do. You probably have to get back to work.
Oh, no, I'm fine.
So am I. Oops. Sorry, Holly.
I requested the time.
Oh, thank you. Well, that's great.
Well, last night at the visual, if anybody, if you see some of the pictures, there was a lot of people that weren't of color.
Right.
And a lot of people, you know, they question, well, where were the black people? And why weren't there more black people? One thing that I've learned is, like, preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Like, black people, if you talk to yourself, you're just going to keep preaching to the choir. But we have to convince people that look like the people that are the problem to say, hey, there might be a problem. It's not saying that you're a bad guy, but hey, look at this. This might be a problem. And it was just a good feeling to be there to see so many people that were willing to stand up, willing to put themselves in a position that, you know, you're standing up for something that, I mean, you guys, even though we shouldn't do it, but you guys read Boyd. I know you do. I listen to you guys all the time. So it could be bad. And these people were there. They were just saying that it needs to stop. And they all were saying all lives matter, but they said first we need to deal with this so that all lives can matter. And I respect
Interesting
that.
Perspective.
And I hear Janessa Mackey had a wonderful speech.
You know what? I tell you, man, I'm one of the tougher guys, but she really brought me to tears only because her being so young, her being biracial, like, you can tell it was from her heart. And, like, she's worried and she's scared, but she's not afraid. She's scared, but she had enough courage to stand up in front of everybody and say, listen, this needs to stop. Like, we're scared out here. Help us. Please help us. And it was just, it was very moving, and it was, and like I said, she's biracial.
You were crying, but you don't want to tell anybody.
No.
It's okay. You're a guy, but guys can cry. It's all right.
I'm not going to lose cool points on something to talk about.
Well, the whole reason I had this interview with you is because I really wanted to make you cry on the air. So you're just ruining everything.
That's good radio. Good radio. But whose idea was it to talk to Vern?
Yours.
Holly's idea. Yours. I wanted to interview and talk to you.
I was sorry.
These are important.
I meant to say we.
Important. Justin, we love you. No, it is. It's important. And I think these types of discussions and dialogues and letting people listen to, you know, this is why live local radio is so important, too, because you might not hear this on commercial radio. So we think
there would have been a ton of commercials in between.
Absolutely. Yeah, I almost just swore. But yes, absolutely.
Not
I was going to say, heck yeah. Yeah, not me. We do appreciate your time, Vern, and your thoughts about this. And hopefully, you know, the country will keep coming together and certainly Columbia County and the city of Hudson, too. So, all right, we're getting the signal.
Yeah,
we've got to run.
Very quickly, tell people about your show.
Drive time, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. every Wednesday on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA. We have Tim Martin on today. Tim Martin's going to be sitting in today. Happy birthday, Asia. It's Slay Diddy's daughter's birthday. He will
happy
be away.
Birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. And we'll have the scrapers in, and one other thing, I'm going to play a clip of an officer that stood up and spoke about this and went against the grain.
Wow, okay, cool.
All right, any parting words on what we just talked about, or you want to just end it here?
My parting words is thank you guys for being you guys. Thank you guys for being understanding, open-minded, and anything that we can do, myself, Slay, and Kamal, to do to make your show better, just call on us. We're there.
Cool.
We really appreciate you guys, and we respect what you do.
Well, likewise.
Thanks so much.
Same goes for you guys.
Same
we appreciate it.
Same goes for us, absolutely. So, appreciate it.
Right,
have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
All right. That about does it.
That
we
wraps our
go.
Show. We went over. Thanks, everyone, for listening. But we thought that was a important topic, and maybe we can have Vern on again as things improve. Let's hope. So, thanks, Justin.
Yes, thank you,
Holly. All right, back to work.
We'll be back.
Bye, everybody.
In 2 weeks.
2 weeks. I think we're going to interview the one and only, I'll be solo, because I think we're going to interview the one and only Justin Weaver, a.k.a. Girl Gantua.
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.